Shalom, I'm Dr. Yonason Arya, and this is Kabbalah Pod.
Listeners, Yoni here, just giving you a holler out. We recently got a congratulations from the founder of FeedSpot, Kabbalah Pod Contemporary Jewish Spirituality, was selected as a panelist or by a panelist as one of the top 50 Jewish podcasts on the web, and we received a high five for that. So that was really great to receive an email of great news that we're considered one of the top 50 Jewish podcasts on the web according to FeedSpot. I wanted to just give a shout out to that, and you can take a look at the top 50 list of Jewish podcasts and choose what you want to listen to. Right now we're number 18. I would love to see us get up higher on there, and I would love for everybody to listen to us, of course. You can take a look at blog.feedspot.com/Jewish_podcasts. Again, blog.feedspot.com/Jewish_podcasts. Thank you so much. We've now reached the season of our redemption. We've reached the time for Passover, Pesach, the time when we leave Egypt, when we are freed from our burden of slavery. But what does that mean? Like, we read it, right? We say, oh, this happened 2,500 years ago, right? But what does it mean? Just that it's gone, it's past, it's done? Or is there something more to it than that? Can we transcend that? Can we apply something to our Seder to now? I'd say most definitely. I know there's many that agree with me on this too. Is the concept is that it's Seder night, we read it not just as a remembering of what happened, but the fact that we're still in the process of redemption. We're still in the process of being delivered from slavery. We are still in slavery. We may not be in slavery to Paro, to Pharaoh anymore, but we're still in slavery. We're in slavery to our desire to do bad, or our desire for lust, or our desire to watch television, or our desire to eat when we shouldn't. We're in slavery to the physical realm of our cravings. We are in slavery to the animal soul within us. And we have that klipa noga that blocks us. And that's what it is that we have garments, right, that we can put on. We have two souls within us. We have the nefesh, the animal soul, and then we have the elevated divine soul, the neshama. And we have the garments of thought, speech, and action, and how we express ourselves between those two garments. Do we allow emotions to rule us and desires to rule us, the cravings, the taivas? Do we let that control our garments? Is that the soul that's in charge? Is our animal soul, our yetzihara? Or do we allow the neshama, the logical thought process, the commitment to mitzvos, the higher level of learning, a higher level of life, do we let that, our yetzer tov, be in control of our garments? Are we quick to anger, or are we even tempered? Are we emotionally driven, or can we logically evaluate a situation? Do we just eat because it's in front of us, or do we stop and consider? I mean, Jews and non-Jews, right? The goal is to stop and consider, right? But I mean, for within Jewish life, we have this concept. We have a blessing that we recite before we eat. Did you make a bracha over your food? And what is the purpose of that? It's not Torah. Torah says to eat and then bless God. So benching, saying grace after meals, that is the halacha, that's law. So what's this concept about saying a bracha before you eat? And that's rabbinic. We do follow rabbinic laws, but it's rabbinic. And so where is this coming from? And the concept is this, is that it's causing you to stop. And I'm not speaking, oh, this is what the Gemara says. I'm saying, if you look at it semiotically, if you look at it Kabbalistically, why is this here? Why would the sages do this? And it's causing you to stop. You're not an animal. You don't just shove munch, munch, done. It's causing you to stop and think, to stop and reflect, is this kosher? Is this good for me? What is the blessing I should recite to God to thank God for giving me this food? There's no blessing for non-kosher food. There's only blessings for kosher food. Right? So we say the blessing, and then we take a bite. It's a fence to allow our neshama, to allow our Yetzer Tov to be in charge of our eating and not our gullet, not our animalistic desire to just eat like a dog. That's how we're an elevated being. But we're still enslaved. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, we are still enslaved to this animal soul, to this animal desire. And that's what it means by we're still in a form of slavery. Because although we want to break through, although we want to be free of it, we're still bound by it. And so that's part of the struggle. And that's something that we have to recognize and that we have to overcome. And so we are in modern slavery today, not just in regards to that, but also in regards to our job and how we live our life. And are we part of the American civic religion or whatever nation you may hail from? Do we identify that way? Do we have our tribal authority? Like, do we tribally identify, or do we identify with God? What do we do? How does this work? Right? And so that's another thing we have to consider and we have to evaluate. There's a story I want to share of the Divrei Chaim. And this is from the Haggadah of the Hasidic Masters. It's an art scroll title. So it says, one day, the Divrei Chaim Hassan stood by a window looking out. A man passed by. The rabbi tapped on the window and motioned him in. When he entered, the rabbi asked, tell me, if you found a purse filled with gold coins, would you return it to its owner? Certainly, rabbi, said the man. I would return it immediately. You're a fool, said the rabbi, and dismissed him. Once more, he stood at the window and motioned to another passing man to enter. He put the same question to him. I'm not such a fool as to return a purse full of gold coins that fell into my hand, said the man. You are wicked, said the rabbi, and sent him off. Once again, he returned to the window and beckoned to a third man to come in. Once again, he asked his question. How can I give an answer to the rabbi, said the man. Do I know what will happen at such a moment? Will I have in it myself will I have it in myself to suppress my Yetzer Hara, my evil desire? I hope Hashem would help me overcome and help me return the lost object to its owner. You are a wise man, said the rabbi. That is how one should answer. Bechor Chaim 166. There's a purpose to this story as I reflect about it. And as we're having this conversation regarding slavery to our Yetzer Hara, is that no matter how much you work on your midos, no matter how much musar, no matter how much chassidus, no matter how much gemara, how much kabbalah, whatever it is you engage, you are still a divided human. The Rek Hashem says that there's only so much that your neshama can do in this world, and not because the job of the neshama is to fully spiritually elevate you. It can only elevate you so high because your body bound by the Garden of Eden transgression regarding the fruit. Your body is attached to this Yetzer Hara, and it cannot be separated from it. And so no matter how much neshama wants to fully heal, it can't. It has not succeeded in its mission, and it's not going to yet. Until after you die. Because what happens when you die, your body goes into the ground, and it slowly, wastes away. The neshama goes up into the heavenly realms, sitting in the Gan Eden area. And then what happens? Well, not the Gan Eden, but you know what I mean. But then what happens is after Mashiach, the resurrection, everybody's bodies are destroyed and then rebuilt. And the Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem that this is essential, that the bodies are destroyed and rebuilt, because in the process of destroying, Hashem is destroying the Yetzer Hara component and the blockage to your spiritual truth, so that when the body is rebuilt and your neshama is put back into the body, you no longer have this struggle. The free will concept of, I need to struggle against Yetzer Hara, that's gone at that point. It's no longer a question of Zadik, Benoni, or Rasha. It's a question of Avodas Hashem. That's it. It's no longer a free will thing. And so that is when your body is able to, your neshama comes into the body and says, ah, the Yetzer Hara is no longer holding me back. I'm no longer chained. I can fully elevate this body and fully spiritually heal it. And that is when your neshama finishes its true purpose, its full purpose of healing the goof, right? And so until then, you are in slavery. I am in slavery. We're all in slavery to our Yetzer Hara every moment of every day. And the question isn't, have I defeated it? Because of course we haven't. Unless you're the hidden Zadik, you haven't defeated it. You're always going to have a struggle. You're always going to have a hang up. You're always going to have a temptation, something that's going to stand in your way, that's going to come and interfere when you least expect it, something that's going to challenge you. And the question isn't, oh, have I trained, and I can just defeat it, bam. No, it says in this story, it says the story we just read, it says not, oh, am I a master of this? But at that moment, will God give me the strength to overcome? Because the Yetzer Hara, while we can work and train and work and train to follow the Yetzer Tov and mute the Yetzer Hara as much as possible, the fact is it is a powerful, devouring beast that will always be there to slip us up and to challenge us and to make us struggle. The more we grow, we think we defeated the Yetzer Hara, and then it comes back even stronger than ever. And why is that? Because its sole purpose is to make us grow more. Because at that time, we have to pray to God. We have to dive into God and say, God, Hashem, help me with this. Help me overcome. Give me the strength. And then we overcome. And it's hard every time. It's hard every time. God gives us challenges for our Yetzer Hara that is in line with the level that we're at. Somebody may not be tempted by lust. The Yetzer Hara is going to give them other areas. For example, saying the words at the correct kavana or the correct phrasing. Or there's so many different levels that Hashem can challenge us on. And it's all based off where we are. Where's our individual level? How is God challenging us and growing us and building us? And so, to wrap this up, when you go into Pesach and you open your Haggadahs and you start talking about the four sons, you're going to come across that part. As for the son who is unable to ask, you must initiate the subject for him. For stated, you shall tell your son on that day, it is because of this that Hashem did so for me when I went out of Egypt. The Seder right here brings up the critical point about slavery that impacts our day-to-day existence. The Seder is not just about, Pesach is not just about God delivering us Yidden from Mitzrayim 2,500 years ago. It's about God delivering you from your Yetzer Hara now, today. Because what is Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, the word for Egypt, it's not just Egypt. It's a type of prison. It's between the straits. It means so much more than that. And that's where you are, is in a type of prison between the straits, struggling with your Yetzer Hara every day. And is for this, that God gave us a Seder, and God gave us Pesach, and that God gave us the strength when we turn to Him, that He will lead us out of Mitzrayim. He will lead us out of our bondage. Not just the Jews leaving Egypt from evil Paro under Moshe Rabbeinu's guidance, but also you today leaving and overcoming and triumphing over your Yetzer Hara every second of every day under Hashem's watchful guidance. Chag Chaser V'Sameach.
Thank you for listening to Kabbalapod on Anchor FM. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and share it with your friends. Have a question or topic idea? We'd love your input and ideas. Send us a tweet, message Yidbrick on Facebook, or leave us a voicemail on the Anchor app. Not on social media? That's okay. Send us your ideas at yidbrick.com/Kabbalah. Become a monthly supporter on Anchor FM or by visiting yidbrick.com/donate. You can also show your support by sharing our podcast with others and purchasing our custom-made Kabbalistic Judaica jewelry or Yiddish artisan beard balm at yidbrick.com/store. This podcast is a project of Yidbrick, building Jewish bridges. Learn more at yidbrick.com/Kabbalah.